God and His people. Now we have been considering together the subject of spiritual health, how to be a healthy believer. And we have been comparing spiritual health with natural health. To have natural health, you have to have natural birth. To have spiritual health, you have to have spiritual birth. Immediately after the birth of a child, the next thing the child needs is air. You've got to breathe right. If you stop breathing for 4 to 5 minutes, you die. And we saw that the proper atmosphere, the proper breathing area for the believer is prayer. Then the child must have proper food. And we saw that, spiritually speaking, our food is the Word of God. And we saw, too, that in eating, the important thing is to eat regularly. And we saw, too, that to have health, you have to have proper clothing. And we looked at the clothing that the believer should have for everyday use and for wartime. Now today we want to look at exercise. Oh, there's so much being said about exercise. Buy this machine, it'll build up your biceps. Buy this machine, it'll build up your abdomen. Buy this machine, it'll build up your thigh. And if you buy this machine, it'll build up everything. What exercise should we as believers engage in? 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. Now, our brother was somewhat apologetic about turning to several scriptures. Brother, I've been doing that for years, and I don't apologize. It's the only way to know the Bible. You have to turn and look. And John 3:16, I've said this before. Everybody here knows it, right? Fine. I told him about a brother in New York. 2 weeks of gospel meetings. Every night he spoke. And he spoke from John 3:16. Can you do it? So we don't know John 3:16, do we? So we need to turn to the Scriptures. There is another beautiful thing about the Scriptures when you turn to them. Now you have to listen very carefully. And as those pages are turned, you'll hear music. Have you ever heard it? The turning of these pages. In a Bible class, in a group like this, different ones turning the pages, that's music. Better than the New York Philharmonic. Now we're going to see about exercise. 1 Timothy, please. Chapter 4. Verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise yourself unto godliness. That's our exercise. Godliness. And I want to tell you, it's a hard exercise. To do under the circumstances what the Lord Jesus Christ would do. And that's not easy. And it requires repeated practice and practice and practice. Just like the athletes, you know, they're always practicing. And if we're going to exercise godliness, we too have got to practice. Verse 8. Bodily exercise profiteth a little. But godliness is profitable as everything. Now we want to look at our subject from the point of view. What exercise should we engage in spiritually? Now, there's several. I only want to consider one. Do you know one of the best exercises in the world without machines? Walking. Walking is the best exercise. When I went to school, you take out a man's appendix, keep him in bed 10 days. Repair a hernia, keep him in bed 14 days. Today you take out his appendix and he walks the next day. And in maternity cases, you walk the same day and you may have to walk out of the institution. walking, the best exercise. And I want to look at walking from three aspects. Walking with God, walking before God, and walking after God. Walking with God. Book of Genesis, please. Chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Verse 24. Walking with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He walked with God. Oh, you say to me, well, that was easy back then. They didn't have any problems. It was easy to walk with God. You think so? Book of Jude. So you see, brother, already I'm turning the pages. Now, unless you have memorized the Bible, you know the verse that we're going to read. Enoch walked with God. What were the days like when Enoch walked with God? Were they like our days? Let's read. Verse 14. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have against. You notice how often the word ungodly occurs? Enoch's days were not easy days. They were like these days. Yet he walked with God. Chapter 6. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and blameless in his generations. Noah walked with God. Was it easy? What were the times like in the days of Noah? Book of Luke, please, chapter 17. Noah walked with God. What were the times like? Was it easy in the days of Noah? Luke chapter 17. Verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, notice what it was like in Noah's days and compare them with our days. They did eat. How about it? One of the things that always interests me is you see a burger on that corner, and there's an eating place on all the three corners around it. We do a lot of eating, don't we? Well, they did in those days. Next it says, they drank. Oh my, do we do that? Does that characterize this day? They ate and they drank in Noah's days, just like today. They married wives. Now notice the next expression, please. They married wives and they were given in marriage. Not the same thing. Ever hear about shacking up? They didn't know this. And he walked with God. In spite of the wickedness of those around, just like today, and God expects us to walk with him. Now, if we're going to walk with Jesus, one thing must obtain. you pardon the ancient English. One thing must be true. That's present day English. Turn with me to the book of Amos. If we're going to walk with the Lord, then one thing must be true. Book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3. And those pages sound nice as they turn. Can two walk together except they be agreed? What's the answer? No. And if we're going to walk with the Lord, we've got to walk in agreement with Him. All right? Many, many years ago. You see, at my stage of life, I can talk about many years ago. Christmas time, a young lady in the meeting said to me, I saw these books and I got one for myself and I got one for you. And it was so that I could see the name of the book. And I said, sister, I'm going to be greeting people. Come back in 15 minutes. We have to talk. What do you think the title of the book was? Jesus, are you walking with me? I said, young lady, no. You walk with him. Two can't walk together. Agree together unless they walk together. It isn't a question of Jesus walking with me. What an insult. I've got to walk with him. And that's the answer to walking in harmony with Jesus. Walk with him. And there is that hymn that goes, when we walk with the Lord, what joy, walking with the Lord. You have to pardon the personal reference, but you see, a lot of these things are personal where I'm concerned. And this was many years ago. There I go again, many years. I was studying the book of the Revelation, and there was a certain verse that I couldn't understand. I didn't understand. And I studied that verse for 3 months. Couldn't get it. Prayed, agonized, looked up the concordance, looked up the references, couldn't find it. One day I had to go to a certain institution. I said, I'm not going to drive. I'm going to take the public transportation where I can sit and think. I exited the train. Now, those of you that know New York know the Bronx. Now, you don't walk in the street in the Bronx. Bad enough in Manhattan. Not in the Bronx. And there was I walking across the street, and suddenly the Lord told me and gave me the meaning of that. I stopped in the middle of the street and started writing. And the people that looked on me must have said, that man is crazy. But I got an answer. Walking with the Lord. It is then that he reveals to you certain niceties. You know how it is when two lovers get together? We don't talk about that much. I don't know why. But you know, two lovers get together holding hands, whispering sweet nothings to each other. You married folks know what that is. Sir. The older ones don't admit it. But the young ones do. And you talk to each other. When we walk with the Lord, what joy we have. The next one I want to take, if we're going to finish all three today, walking before the Lord. Genesis chapter 17, please. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. Walking before the Lord. A brother mentioned looking after the children as they travel. I remember, for those of you that don't know, I was born, raised, saved, and educated in New York City, that wicked city. And one thing we liked to do to get away from the cement and the apartment built was to go to the park. My mother had 7 of us. As my dad used to say, I have 7 children, a dog, and a cat. We would go to the park, and all 7, each one going his way and her way. I said, oh no. You walk in front of me so that I can keep an eye on you. Walk before me. That's the walk of discipline. Now come with me, please, to Genesis chapter 24. The Lord told Abram, to walk before me. Chapter 24, verse 40. Many, many years later, in chapter 17, Abram didn't have a child. In chapter 24, he has a child old enough to be married. So some time has elapsed, hasn't it? Now let's read verse 24, or rather verse 40 of chapter 24. He said unto me, that is the servant, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angels with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt make a way for, take a wife for my child and for my father's house. The Lord before whom I walk. All these years passed, and he's still walking before the Lord. I didn't mention in connection with Enoch. Enoch walked with the Lord and the Lord took him. And someone has put it this way. Well, Enoch, we have been walking together. We are nearer to my house than to your house, so you come up to heaven with me. Isn't that nice? That's a good way to go. Go through the undertaker rather than through the undertaker. But we go on. 1 Kings chapter 8, please. You see, brother, I told you that I go to many scriptures. And I make no apology. You have no idea what you're missing when you don't turn to the scriptures. 1 Kings chapter 8. You see, I have to be so careful. I told you 1 Kings, and I turned to 2 Kings. 1 Kings is right. Chapter 8. Walking before the Lord. Solomon's Prayer. Verse 25. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed on their way, that they walk before me. The importance of walking before God. Oh, I have several other scriptures here. Then chapter 17. chapter 17, verse 1. I don't know how you feel, but these scriptures thrill me. And I hope they thrill you. 1 Kings 17, verse 1, Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now, Ahab was the king. See? You stand before royalty. You know, if you go before Queen Elizabeth, you have to know how to bow. And here, Elijah is standing before the king. Why, even if you go before the president, you have to know how to conduct yourself, don't you? You just don't go in there in any shabby manner. You have to know how to behave in the presence of the king. Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab the king, as the Lord God of Israel lived, before whom I stand. I'm not standing in front of you, I'm standing before God. Try it. Try it. Chapter 18. Elijah is now before a servant of the Lord. Elijah said, chapter 18, verse 15. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand. Walking and standing before the Lord. Now try it when you go to apply for a job, see? Don't be afraid of the man that's quizzing you. Stand before the Lord. You say, is that in the Bible? Nehemiah chapter 1, or rather, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1, standing before the Lord. And beloved, that's what we need to do in these difficult days. These are days that would cause the natural man to tremble. What's happening next? Stand before the Lord. Stand before the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was sore afraid. The king's wine server, with a sad face. Maybe somebody put poison in that wine. Something's wrong. And said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lie waste and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Now, notice verse 4, please. He's before the king. Now, when the king asks you a question, you don't stand there stuttering. You answer immediately or sooner. That's royalty. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I pray to the God of heaven. He didn't answer the king right away. And I assure you, it wasn't a long prayer. You didn't keep the king waiting. You remember when Peter was singing? He didn't go into any long prayer. He said, Lord, save me. That's all you need. Again, a personal reverence. A number of us were taking an oral exam. And take this with you, beloved, when you go to these oral exams. 100 of us for 20 places. Oral exam started at 9 in the morning and ended at 10 o'clock that night. And I went in to be tested. And there this man looked at me as if he was looking through. I said, Lord, help me. And then he asked me a question. Oh, the Lord is good. I answered the question, 1, 2, 3. He was surprised. And the chairman said, have you any more questions for him? He said, no, that's enough. This thing works, you know. Didn't work then, it works now too. Standing before the Lord. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Verse 17. As for thee, Solomon speaking, the Lord is speaking to Solomon, if you will walk before me as David thy father walked. Did you know that David walked before the Lord? Oh, you said, I didn't know that, but I know he sinned. It's strange what we remember, isn't it? But David walked before the Lord. And when he did sin, you read in Psalm 32, for a year the man had no rest until he returned to the Lord. Walking before the Lord. Story is told of a young fellow, he was a trainee, an apprentice in a certain store. And that morning, his boss was away. And a customer came in and said, oh, I see your boss isn't here. You can give me a little extra. And what do you think this young fellow said? My boss is always here. How about it? My boss is always here. I'm always walking before the Lord. Oh, but don't do like Joe the butcher. You know the story of Joe the butcher. Saturday night. One chicken left. In walks Mrs. Jones. Joe, I want a chicken. Goes in, brings out the chicken, put it on the scale. Here's your chicken. Weighs so much, costs so much. Joe, have you got a larger one? Takes the same one, bring it back, and touches the scale. Yes, here. Joe, I think I'll take both. Joe was not walking before the Lord. We are to walk before the Lord. We are also to walk after the Lord, following Jesus. Numbers chapter 32. You walk before the Lord, walk with the Lord, and walk after the Lord. This is the walk of discipleship. When the Lord chose those 12 to follow him, it was that he might teach them walking after the Lord. Numbers 32, did I say? Verse 12. Well, we better start at verse 10. The Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly, completely, and altogether follow me. Are you following the Lord? Completely? Not deviating a little bit when you see something. Not like Demas, who forsook Paul and the others because he loved this present world. Following the Lord. And as we follow him, we learn of him. The story is told about a certain man. There was an idol in the center of the city. And this man would come every day and look at the idol, and look at the idol, and look at the idol, following, 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 as it were. Do you know what happened? The time came when you couldn't tell the man from the idol. He followed and peered on that man so intimately. Following the Lord. Joshua chapter 14. Verse 8. Caleb is speaking. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made part of the people melt. But I wholly, completely, and absolutely followed the Lord. Are you following the Lord? Don't worry about these fellows around here with all their theories and ideas. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. The story is told about a lady and her little baby. And she didn't know the directions exactly. She was riding a train. The conductor said, I will tell you when to get off. Then the conductor came and said, the next stop, you get off. The train went and it stopped for an emergency. That was not the station. The man behind her said, Miss, the train has stopped. Get off. Then the train proceeded. The conductor came back. Where is the lady that was here? Oh, I told her to get off. She went out into the snow, and she and her child froze to death. Following wrong directions. And if we don't follow the Lord, we're going to be in trouble. And plenty of trouble. And when you follow the Lord, don't lag behind. You get in trouble. Book of Exodus. Chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. You say, well then, so what? Well, you know, you have to compare scripture with scripture, as we were saying the other night at the men's meeting. You don't just read one scripture and say, this is it. It's got to fit in. It's got to fit. Now, if you want to know the importance of this verse, you have to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Remember now, then came Amalek and fought with Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 25. And I might say the best explanation of the Bible is the Bible. You want to know what the Bible means? You find it in the Bible. Deuteronomy 25, verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when he came forth out of Egypt. This is referring to what we just heard. Remember what Amalek did. He came out and fought with him. Am I right? Next verse. How he met thee by the way and smote the stragglers, the hindmost, those that were behind, those that were following afar off. If you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you want blessing, you better stay real close. We had one man, one of the surgeons in New York, and he had a habit of saying, we were all there, Father, keep with the circus. Don't follow afar off. You remember what happened to Peter? Or maybe we ought to look at that. Matthew chapter 26. If you lag behind, you're going to get in trouble. Matthew chapter 26. Let's read verse 57 and then verse 58. Matthew 26. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off. And what happened next? Peter denied him three times. Don't lag behind. Keep up with the crowd. Keep with the party. Keep with the Lord. Keep with his people. And when you find yourself lagging behind, you're headed for trouble. The danger of lagging behind. First Chronicles chapter 12. I think this will be the last scripture. First Chronicles chapter 12. Verse 33. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. We need to keep rank. Verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron. Beloved, let us keep rank. Don't lag behind. You've heard the story of the army marching in Paris on the Champs-Élysées. All of these soldiers were marching, and this mother looks out of the window. You know, my boy is the only one that's keeping step. Everybody else was out of order. We've got to be careful to keep in rank. That's enough. I'm finished. One hymn, please. I had it marked here. Oh. Yes, I think we know this one, 476. All the way my Savior leads, what have I to dread beside? Ask beside, can I doubt his tender mercy who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. I just have to follow. Thank you.